Welcome to the Feel Good Podcast with Kimberly Snyder. My goal is to help you develop a holistic lifestyle based on our four cornerstone philosophy: food, body, emotional well-being, and spiritual growth. This holistic approach will help you feel good, which I define as being connected to your most authentic, highest self. And this is the place from which your energy, confidence, creativity, true power, and true beauty will start to explode. Every week, we provide you with interviews from top experts in their field or a solo cast from yours truly to support you in living your most beautiful, healthy, and joyful life. I'm your host, Kimberly Snyder, founder of Saluna, New York Times bestselling author, and holistic wellness, nutrition, and meditation teacher. Let's get started. Hi, loves, and welcome back to our Monday interview podcast, where we have a very special interview for you today with the wonderful Malika Chopra. She is a repeat guest. She is a personal friend, sister to me. She is the CEO of the popular Chopra meditation app, and she is the author of many books, including her new children's book, Buddha and the Rose. So I can't say enough about Malika, how much I love her. She's a powerful woman. She has a very interesting background. Her father is Deepak Chopra. She's an entrepreneur. She's a public speaker. She's just a wonderful, wonderful human. And I have loved many of her books, including this latest book, which I have been reading to my boys over and over again. It is beautiful. And it is about making accessible for children this teaching of the Buddha, where he came, this silent teaching with a rose, which is so powerful. It's about being really fully in the present moment. So I can't wait to share the show with you. But before we get into it, I would love to give a shout out to our fan of the week. And her name is Pays Girl 112. And she writes, "Getting me through postpartum. I found Kimberly before I had my baby, but didn't really delve deep into her stuff until I had my baby. I love listening to her podcast on walks with a stroller. We also had a big move to a different state, and her podcast has been keeping me grounded even during this difficult time. Thank you so much." Oh, thank you so much, Pays Girl 112, for being in the community, for reaching out and leaving a review. It means the world. Thank you. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. And I'm so grateful for our connection. I know what it's like to be in that sometimes lonely postpartum period. And so I'm so honored that I could be with you and that we are together in this connected community. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. And just a little reminder for you listening, my love, to please also leave us a review over on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to our Feel Good podcast. It is such a wonderful way to support the show, and it helps other beautiful souls like yourself find the show. So I thank you so much in advance. Please also be sure to subscribe to our show so you don't miss out on any of these great interviews, solo casts, or our Thursday Q&A show. Please also share our show with anyone that you think would vibe. Could be a screenshot, could be a link, and it's a great way, it's a great thing to share resources, love, wisdom, knowledge, anything that you think would benefit or help anyone else. And also remember that my new book that I wrote for you, which is called You Are More Than You Think You Are, is out. You can pick it up wherever books are sold. And it's a really practical guide, including teachings and practices and exercises for getting past fear, connecting to your vitality, your creativity, and your inner love and peace and abundance, and then creating your best stuff in a practical sense in the world, whether it is creating a new website or product or group or being the best parent or whatever it is. It's about really tapping into purpose, tapping into your unique gifts, and then channeling them out into the best ways to serve and support others. So I hope you love it. It's right from my heart. Let me know what you think. Again, it's called You Are More Than You Think You Are. All right. All of that being said, let's get into our interview today with the wonderful Malika Chopra. Hey, Malika, thank you so much for coming back with me, friend, sister. collaborator in many things. We've known each other for years now. It's great to have time to have this conversation in the middle of busy life. So thank you so much.
Oh, I'm always so thrilled when we connect, whether it's like this or just on our coffees and catch-ups. You are a sister, truly.
Oh, yes, love. Well, here we are. We were just chatting a little bit before we started recording how crazy life has been. There's, you know, your kids are kind of going in different directions. One's in college now, you said?
So, Kimberly, you won't believe this. One is finished her sophomore year of college and like going into junior, which is like a whole nother, like really thinking about your life. And then my baby, like my little baby turned 18 yesterday, Leela.
Oh my God.
So she is officially an adult too. And I'm like, oh my God, how did this happen? The
phase. Well, I feel like I'm getting goosebumps. And one of the you know, the ways I felt so connected to you, we are both co-authors. We love to write. And I've read so many of your books. How many books do you have now, Malika?
I know it's crazy. Even I lose track. So I think I'm coming out with my eighth book.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So I remember reading Intent, which was, you know, for us adults and really thinking about creating the life we want. And then a book that I talk about all the time and I recommend all the time is 100 Promises to My Baby, which I read when I was pregnant with my first son. And it was so beautiful. And it was just, you know, just thinking about those really tender first years. And now this new book that you have, which we'll get into in a moment, The Buddha and the Rose, which I love. And I read to both of my sons over the past few days, is taking this really like adult story that I read about in adult context, one of the sermons of Buddha, and really making it accessible for children. So it's really interesting seeing the arc of all your books. So tell me a little bit about the inspiration for, oh, I'm going to write about this now, because I have my own process and I love to hear other writers, you know, other authors really share about
that. No, so thank you for asking. You know, I think if I look at the arc of all of my books, they're really a reflection of what I'm going through at that time in my life. And so, you know, when I did 100 Promises to My Baby and 100 Questions for My Child, it was really that, like, becoming a mom and who are what my intentions as a mother and thinking about my story and the story that we were going to create together. And that was such a magical time in life. Then I wrote Living with Intent, which was like the chaos, the craziness, the busyness of running around as a busy mom, as an entrepreneur, as, you know, just to forget about taking care of ourselves, like taking care of everyone else. And just a reminder that we need to do that. And then it was like my kids were at an older age, 8 to 12 year old, like that range when I wrote Just Be. The Just Be series. So that's Just Breathe, Just Feel, Just Be. Yes. You, which are practical, like tools for kids, like just short exercises, things in schools. And the last two books, so I did My Body as a Rainbow, and then now Buddha and the Rose, is like I came back to like, okay, coming back to like those early ages when we really you're in that phase, which I'm just yearning, where you put your baby in your lap and you're reading a book together, and how do you connect that way? And so Buddha and the Rose, you know, is this classic story that my dad used to tell us all the time. And I always just loved the story of, like, you know, how a rose represents so much, but it was a silent talk. So I wanted to do something, but then I was like, ugh, you know, we need women in these stories. Like, we need girls. And so I adapted it because in the traditional story, and again, this is all who knows what history was, but in the traditional story, it was Buddha with one of his students, and everyone was sitting silent, and his student understood the message that Buddha was saying by just holding the rose. But in this, I brought in Sujata, who is a little girl. She was the milkmaid who brought originally the milk that Buddha broke his fast. But I thought, let's bring in the children, let's bring in the girls. And so I think with any children's book, it's about the art. And so I was like, I want a young Indian woman to illustrate this. So I asked, that's, you know, that was my mandate, was that's yes. really important to me. So the goal here is to bring in more women into this tradition as well.
Wow. The book is so profound. I mean, I just, it's like this moment expanded. And the fact that you could really explain that in a way or make it accessible to children. So it was, I watched my son's eyes. I remember I had both of them the first time in one in each arm. One is six now, one is two. So they're still in that arc where they can read some of the same books. And it was this moment where you illustrate this rose. And then just seeing this profound connection in the stillness without having to talk a lot, this beingness. So much is formless. So much is this, you know, children feel it, but then they don't have the language. And then as adults, we put too much language on top. So it's like finding that way of expressing is really eloquent. And you take us on this journey and the illustrator is taking us into this moment expanded. It's so beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Well, and I think, again, because of your work, you're so connected to consciousness. And I love your last book, which we've talked about. But I think that you and I are both moms and we're always looking for ways to, you know, to teach, but to connect like in a really authentic way with our children. And I did feel like this story, it's like about joy and wonder. And I feel we're living in a world where like, things are so heavy. Like I wanted something that would just yeah. kind of feel like almost like this aha moment. And I do think that the illustrator kind of, she did such a lovely job of giving space. And, you know, space, but then also the joy that kind of comes through this moment. And just again, for those that don't know, you know, this was called the silent lecture where Buddha, you know, had a crowd of people and he just held a rose and he didn't say anything. And everybody was like, what is he talking about? Like, what is he doing? And there was confusion and everyone thought, you know, they just couldn't understand. And then one of his students, you know, my dad used to say it was Ananda, but I think it was Maha Kasyapa. But one of his students suddenly had this insight is that this rose represents everything. It represents, you know, the seed that was carried by a bird that was in the ground that required the sun and the universe and time and rain. And then it became this beautiful flower that has the sense and the beauty that, you know, is there at weddings and, you know, is there for the honey for the bees. And so in this moment, this enlightened awareness comes and this connection to spirit, to the universe, to other people. And so that's the story. But I think bringing it to children, hopefully, gives them the sense of connection. So
what I really loved about it, too, is this, it's this journey where it's fun for children to see. She's sort of like flying around in her seat, in her consciousness. But then there's a line where you write about you are like, she realized she was a unique part. So it's like, we want to teach our kids, right? We are the individual, but the collective. We're individual, but we're part of this wholeness. And so I think that was such a profound part of the book. And it almost made me tear up to see like this milkmaid. She was this profound, integrate, unique part of everything. And then it's all connected.
If you're only going to take one supplement a day, I recommend it to be our Soluna Feel Good SBO Probiotics. Boost your energy, immunity, skin health, moods, and overall wellness today and every day with this incredible formula. This unique formula contains prebiotics, postbiotics, and multiple clinically researched probiotic strains of soil-based organisms, SBOs, in the proper ratio that are hardy enough to survive stomach acid and get to your gut. Use code BOOSTHEALTH to get 20% off your first order today at mysoluna.com. That's BOOSTHEALTH for 20% off your first order today.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and thank you. And I think the goal here is like for all of us parents who are trying to be intentional, we're trying to find different ways that we can do that. So, you know, whether it's through our meditation practice, through, you know, guided programs, and Kimberly, we're going to have you on the Chopra app and we're so yes. excited. And I think you're talking about the environment and, you know, that connection again, which is something you articulate so well all the time. And so, you know, this book is just another kind of tool in the toolkit that hopefully parents we have, teachers, librarians, you know, I love now, you know, I've got, it's so great to just get images of kids in classrooms or sitting in their parents' lap reading these books. Like I hope that they help us kind of feel that connection and open up ideas, but more importantly, experiences. Yes. Because that's what our kids will remember is those experiences as well.
Yeah, the magic, like how a book at bedtime can really transport you. And one thing, Malika, as you're speaking this, you know, you and I have talked about the world and how there's so much comparison. You know, you're the mother to two daughters. And it can be a confusing time, especially for women like this, that oh, I could, you know, I should be doing this. I should be doing more. And I love, and we've spoken about this and also you've written about it in your books, what it means to be powerful and to be embodied and to have intention. And you've also shared about your mother who was so unapologetically this powerful, I am mother and this is what I am. And she wasn't trying to be anything else. And then you are this, you know, creator in the world. And then I've had the, you know, the honor of speaking at your daughter's schools and, I mean, it's just this, there's this complexity, but also what I love about your message is this emphasis again on we can be unique and contribute in our own way. And we don't have to always like compare ourselves or be like other people. And this, it's always like better, worse, this, that, you know, in the world.
Well, and I love, again, what you're bringing up also is just the authenticity of being who we are. So, and I've learned that from my mom, you know, who is kind of just the ultimate mother presence and spirit. And I feel so grateful that, you know, she has obviously guided me, but my mom's like a mom to like an entire community, like our extended family, the whole Chopra community. She's really been such an yes. example. So, you know, for me, I'm so lucky to have her as a role model. But I think what that's allowed me to do is find my unique voice, to never also apologize for the divine feminine and the power of feminine. And actually, even with this book, which is why I was like, I'm going to bring is maybe historically not completely accurate, but like all of this, who knows what's historically accurate. I want to bring a young girl into this story. Like we need more women yes. in these, you know, stories and, you know, who haven't been showcased before. So, you know, this story has this little sweet girl, Sujata, and, you know, let's bring her into the story as well.
Have you always felt connected to Buddha and these various stories in particular? I know.
Yeah, so I was actually this morning, you know, I had picked up again the classic book by Thich Nhat Hanh, Old Path, White Clouds, you know, which is just full of kind of these, you know, sweet stories about Buddha. So yes, I mean, I think for me, we've always been connected to great teachers. It's my dad reads obsessively. So as kids, you know, we were exposed to that and mythology. So just generally, all worlds of mythology. And then of course, you know, the Hindu, archetypes, you know, whether it be Shiva or Ganesh or, you know, Lakshmi and, you know, all of them. And so, you know, the ideas that each of these gods or goddesses represent different archetypes and divine powers. And so that's kind of been part of my upbringing. And it's such a rich source, honestly, for storytelling. Yes. So, you know, even in, you know, when I started with 100 Promises, it was like these great stories come from these traditions.
And it's interesting to see this, you know, the symbols repeated throughout different traditions. So for instance, Paramahansa Yogananda always talks about the rose representing the sweetness of source, of the divine. And that's what the real divine love feels like. It's gentle, it's magnetizing, it's not pushy, it's not aggressive, and it's this real sweetness. So he, you know, he sings about it, or there's a lot of chants around the rose. There's rose petals used in a lot of the rituals and the ceremonies and the meditations. So it's interesting how you see it play out across, you know, Buddha's teachings in different cultures as well.
Yeah, no, and I think that's, again, there are these symbols which throughout different cultures, you know, have had kind of resonance. And it's so fascinating because I became, you know, a few years ago, I went back to school and did more like studied psychology and things like that and started really getting deep into Jungian psychology. Ah. But realize like, what he was talking about was what, again, they've been talking about in the East for thousands of years. He just kind of brought the language to it. So
interesting. Yeah, with the alchemy and all the...
Yeah, and symbolism and archetypes and all of that.
Interesting. Well. So what would you say to a parent that gets your book and is teaching their child about this real presence and this profoundness in the moment? And the child reads the book, they read it together and they get excited. What else could they do beyond reading or simple practices that they could live some of this in their lives?
So, yeah. And I think, you know, it's such a good question because I've been thinking about, you know, maybe sharing some other exercises linked to the book. But I think specifically with this book, as a parent, or a teacher, you could just like with the rose, and you think about where did the rose come from and then what is the rose used for? You could do that with anything. So like when you're sitting down for a meal with your salad, like look at the food in front of you and say, hey, where did this come from? Like think about like where was it grown? Who were the farmers? How did that food get to wherever it had to be flown to LA? And then, you know, who transported that to the grocery store? And who were the workers there that, you know, put it on the shelves? And then you took a car to go there. And like, who built that car? I mean, it's like you can take literally any object or almost any experience and work backwards and forwards around it and kind of see the connections that we have. And also like just to eat this one piece of lettuce in my salad took thousands upon thousands of people. It took the sun, it took the time, it took, you know, it's amazing. And yet to realize that with literally everything that's around us, you cannot deny the connection.
Yes, and the soil and so the earth, all the different elements that go in it. And when we rush through the day, we miss a lot of that. So meal times feel like a really practical, our family does a gratitude practice. We go around, we say what we're grateful for. It sort of slows everybody down. And then, yeah, just to sort of hone in on what is here.
Yeah. I think that's great. And I think, and then yes, of course, the other practices. So gratitude practice. I like setting an intention early in the day. So I tried to, even recently with my daughters who are much older now, but we're getting into all of us in this very like negative aspect of like the world and politics and the environment. Yeah. And so I said, you know, let's every night just text each other the thing we're grateful for. And then in the morning, like our intent for the day. The two together got a little bit much for my girls, but now we're just doing the gratitude. But I also like that idea of the intention for the day to just anchor yourself in some sort of feeling or experience for the day.
I love that. And also sharing it with loved ones. It's almost like that statement, bringing it forward.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, with kids, I think, and at every age, there are different practices. I'm a big believer, obviously, in meditation, but I think for kids, especially your age, maybe it's just going for a mindful walk together, trying to notice something new that you didn't see on like the same walk. You know, I used to do this even like going up the stairs in your house. Like, is there something new you can see? Or going for like 10 quiet steps and being aware of your body. I mean, there's so many things we can do with our children that can help them slow down, just feel more connected. And I think that's the beauty of, you know, when you describe, like, I'm almost jealous, like your two babies, like in your two arms and holding a book, because you don't do that later on. So savor it. But again, they're going to remember that experience, just the feeling of the safety and the security, as much as, if not more, than any story that you read them.
Have you felt this big lesson, Malika, in letting go in time, watching your daughters grow? How is that, you know, because you're a little bit ahead of me in the parenting game. And I think, wow, like even my 6-year old, it doesn't feel, and some people say it goes fast, but there's been so much in my life and, you know, so much has happened since he was born and with him. And I meditate as well. There are moments expanded, but how is it when your kids don't need you as much physically? How is it when they go off to college?
So it's such an amazing experience, because it's like when my daughter left for college, my older daughter, like it hurt me so much, missing her. Like it literally physically hurt, because she's on the other side of the country. But then you see like how excited they are for this next phase of their life, you realize, my God, they're okay. Like they are, it's like this butterfly that's going out and flying out into the world. And so then you're like, oh my God, you're so happy for them and excited for them. And, you know, it's actually kind of a very liberating and thrilling experience, like, and so fulfilling. It doesn't mean you don't miss them as much. And now with my baby who turned 18 yesterday, I mean, she's like, you know, her first thing is like, I'm going to go get a tattoo because I can.
Oh my God.
Wow. And like, but again, it's like, she's got it. Like, I know she's great. She's going to be fine. And your relationship with them shifts to like, really, deep friendship. Of course, you're the mother, but like, you know, they are their own people with their own ideas, and they push back, and they push back with such, it's not the like teenage or like 5-year-old pushing back. It's like, they really know things about this world, and I'm constantly learning from them.
Yeah.
So it's quite an amazing and beautiful experience. I talk to me when Leela goes to college and we're empty nesters. I don't know how I'm going to deal with that. But right now, I have Tara home from college and Leela at home, and it's just wonderful.
And there's been this real self-discovery or journey within yourself as a woman, because we've talked about there's stages in your career where you were, you know, you even shared when you first met your husband, or you guys were working on MTV for a while, like all these things, and you were out, and then you became a mother, and then there was this ebb and flow. And so now there's more time and space for you to work on your creative endeavors.
There are, if it hadn't been for getting involved in Chopra Global and my dad's company. And so,
well, that's, you know, a big creative endeavor.
It is a big creative endeavor, but it's also an endeavor which I think many of us go through. I know you've lost your mom relatively recently, and it's also realizing we also need to take care of our parents. You know, that is something I'm also, you know, my parents are very healthy and great, but it's also time to help them. You know, they've helped us with so much, you know, in our lives to get here. And so I'm also feeling a much more responsibility right now in terms of my parents. And so I have to remind myself that I still have to take care of myself too.
Do you feel now at this stage, like your girls are like coming into this womanhood, do you feel, I don't feel like proud is the right word, but just like as a woman, the wisdom, like you've done it, you're doing it, Malika, you've been through these stages. It must feel.
No, it's great. I think you and I talked about this when we met in person last time. And I think you're actually in a similar place, even though the kids are younger, which is, I think we are both at a stage where we don't need to prove anything anymore.
Right. Like,
so you can really just serve in a more authentic way. And that is a different feeling than I've felt in the past.
I, you know, and you and I have talked about this, and where my new book came from was this, just layers and layers after I went through that breakup and my mom passed away, and it drove me into myself, into this place of, why are we here? What do we want to share in our time? And what really matters and what doesn't matter is all the noise and proving things and trying to get, you know, this and that and the attention. And so there really is a shift, and there's a freedom, and there's a power, a different kind of fulfillment that you can give more authentically. I think you can just give more love.
Yeah. No, it's a good place to be. So I don't know what comes next, to be honest. Like that also feels okay. Whereas I think before that used to create fear for me, with my daughters being in such a good place and actually older now, like it's almost like I can let go of that, and it does open up infinite possibilities. We'll see where they lead, but it's a good place to be.
How has your spiritual practice evolved through this journey? Do you feel like, oh, you have more time to meditate? Do you feel like you've, you know, a deeper perspective of life? It's
100%. So one is, as your kids get older, they don't need you as much, but you know, both drive all over the city and it, you know, they have their own schedules. Like,
oh, they scary, don't even need, yeah,
I don't even stay up for them anymore, which is fascinating. In the beginning, I used to track them and wait, and it's like they figured it out. It gives a lot more time and freedom. I think for me, I'm really like, I love my meditation practice. Whereas before it was like, I was trying to fit it in somewhere. Now it's like, I can indulge in it, which is a very different experience too. So that's nice. So, you know, I have more time to go for walks. Like, it's a lovely, like, opening up, but also opening up space, but in a way that like, you're comfortable, like it's okay to do that now.
Yes. And then tying it back to the book, it's interesting now that your daughters are a bit older, it's like you have this perspective of giving this gift, the Buddha and the Rose, this teaching to younger children, or, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, that's the thing. I kind of wrote the Just Be series while they were in that age, and I spent so much time in schools. But I think what I realized is going in schools is like, there was nothing much for the younger kids.
Yes.
And so that's why I did My Body is a Rainbow and this one, which is really for the younger kids. It's like slowly but surely, like yourself, like we've built this library of books. Somehow they just keep adding up.
Well, I can't wait to see how it all keeps unfolding and what creative genius keeps flowing out of you. Again, it's fascascinating knowing you and then seeing the arc of your books.
Yeah, thank you. And likewise, I also wanted to say, because I did want to just, we are so thrilled and honored and grateful that you have done this program with us on the Chopra app.
Oh,
I feel like there are so many ways we can continually collaborate, but this was a great one.
Yes. And so we actually just shot it, Malika. I don't know if you were aware. We did it the other day and it flowed. And it was speaking about walking meditations. There was a part of it that was about that we got to talk about Ayurveda and the book that, you know, Deepak and I wrote together that talks about the Panchamahabhuta theory. When you really anchor into that there is same elements out here and inside, you really start to feel so anchored and connected and more aware about self-care, intuition, how you move through life. And so I really loved, and we'll link to the app as well so people can check it out. And it's October, Journey to Wellbeing for Environment. But I think it's really a beautiful offering, and I'm so grateful to be part of it as well.
Oh, we're so glad. And you and I will meet for our coffee again. And I know you're going to be out for a while, but I love also all of the sharing that I see on Instagram these days, because I can see, Kimberly, like it's a new phase for you. Like, it's just, one feels it when we met. And like, I do think you're kind of have this like just silent power, which is just amazing, that is coming out like in everything that you're doing. So I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I admire you so much, and I connect to your work so much. And just having this has been next to the bed with the kids This is such a beautiful book that I can't recommend enough. Buddha and the Rose, not just the writing is beautiful, but also the journey, the experience. My younger son, Flower, like this page of the Rose is like, he's just entranced and, you know, just fascinated. And so thank you so much for giving us parents a beautiful offering to teach through this experience. As you know, you could sit together and read it, of really going into the profoundness of this moment. I love this book. I will read it over and over again. I will gift it. We will link to it, obviously, in the show notes. But again, Malika's book is The Buddha and the Rose. I love it.
Thank you so much.
Great to be with you, and can't wait for our next conversation.
Soon, yes. Thank you.
So I hope you enjoyed our interview today as much as I enjoyed the conversation with Malika. Please be sure to check out our show notes for more information on her work. And please do pick up a copy of her new book, Buddha in the Rose, which is so beautiful. Whether you have a child yourself or a child in your life, this is a book that will make a wonderful gift. So please pick up a copy or more. And we will be back here Thursday for our next Q&A podcast. So take great care. Check out the show notes. See you on social @_KimberlySnyder. And sending you so much love. Namaste.
Do you see the deals on these brands? Of course you can't. This is a podcast. But when you go to Ross this spring, you'll see brands you know at prices you love. We're talking all the shoes, hues, and oohs at 20 to 60% off department store prices. Go see the savings at Ross.